Hello, everyone. This is Al with the CCW Podcast. Thanks for sticking around. This is episode 2, and I'm not sure about the topic just yet, but I wanted to fill you guys in on another episode I'll be doing. But before I get started, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email me at ccwpodcast@gmail.com. It looks like there's been a little bit of interest in the podcast, and I'm a little surprised and grateful, so thank you for listening. And that first episode was a little bit of a learning experience for myself, because it was one long, unedited podcast, and I noticed a lot of errors that I made in it, but I noted them, and hopefully I won't make them again. So just wanted to let you guys know that I'm taking the wife tomorrow to a gun shop that also has a range right next door to it, and so she's going to rent some firearms, and ultimately with the goal of finding one that she'd like to own. They offer rentals there, and I think we've decided to maybe rent two or three firearms and give it a try. I know she's like the feel of the SIG P-238, which essentially looks like a baby 1911, and I'm partial to that too for obvious reasons. And I'm also looking at the Ruger LCP and maybe another 380, maybe a 9, I don't know. When she went shooting before, she tried various, they worked her way up from 22s all the way up to 9mm, and she ended up really liking the 22, obviously, and she liked shooting the 9s as well. One thing she didn't like was the snub-nosed J-frame revolvers, and those had quite a bit of recoil for her. And well, I think I would someday like a snub-nosed revolver. I don't think that we're ready to have one for home defense and or for her to carry or for me to carry. Yeah, so that should be a podcast I think I'll have her on too, and we'll discuss how she liked the experience. So tune in for that. So on to today's topic, episode 2. I think I want to talk about carry ammo and basically the ammunition selection of your particular concealed carry permit handgun. And to give you a little background again, I currently carry a subcompact 1911, which basically means there's a 3-inch barrel on it, and if you're familiar with the 1911, it's typically made in two sizes, a 5-inch government model barrel that has the 5-inch barrel, and a commander size, which has a 4.25-inch barrel. There are literally seemingly hundreds of varieties of 1911s, so you might see them in 4-inch barrels, which I myself particularly really, really like the looks of, but currently can't find the funds to resource and purchase a new one, but I will someday. So I ended up with the 3-inch 1911, and obviously it feeds, it's built for the 45 ACP or 45 automatic round, and so that particular round is, so the carry ammo that the 45 auto is most known for is some form of 230 grain bullet with a jacketed hollow point. And while I'm no ballistician or whatever you call these ammunition experts, 200 grain is basically the weight of the bullet. And to give you a little bit of background, the bullet is actually what gets ejected from the barrel of the firearm, ultimately is what hits the target. And 230 grains, I think grains are just a measure of ounces, I'm not sure. But 45 automatic means that the caliber, essentially the width of the bullet, is 0.5 caliber, which is also 0.5 inches. So it's about a half an inch, you know, a little short of a half an inch. It's pretty substantial, and it's considered one of the larger calibers for handguns. And as a result, it's generally going slower than, say, the 9mm or the 40 Smith and Wesson's calibers, or even the 22s, the 380s. These are all different calibers, and if you listen to other podcasts, I'm sure you know what. You can find more information on those. But what I originally started with was 230 grain Winchester white box. You can find those anywhere, really. I've been finding them at Walmart, so. And I've noticed that the price has increased quite a bit since I first started buying them. To give you an idea, out here, I was buying a box of 100 rounds of that 45, 230 grain full metal jacket, the ball ammo, for about $32. And now I think, the last time I even checked, I haven't bought any recently, but the last time I checked, it was around 36, so 37 maybe even. So there was a little bit of an increase there, as you can imagine. And I luckily, I had a little bit left over from when I was buying them at 32 a box. So those are what I initially used to break in my firearm. And most firearms these days, their manual will recommend a break-in period, meaning time for the parts to seed in together, kind of like when you're driving a new vehicle. The first, 500 miles or 1,000 miles or so, you kind of got to take it easy. So the way you take it easy in a handgun is to shoot full metal jacket, which is typically just whatever you get for practice or target range ammo, not for personal defense. Essentially, not the hollow points, but the ones that have the ball or kind of curved head of the bullet. You'll know it when you see it. And these kind of are what the 1911 was built around, to feed 230 grain ball ammo. So if it's failing, or if you're having reliability problems, failures to eject, failures to feed, these types of issues, it's probably something much more than just the ammo. You got to worry about why it's not feeding ball ammo, and that might dictate that you turn it into the shop or back to the dealer, the manufacturer. Excuse me. And so I started off with my firearm, my CCW class. I ended up using the Winchester white box, 230 grain, 45 ball ammo. And if you listened to episode 1, I thank you for that, by the way, you know that it functioned perfectly in my firearm. And all I had at the time was two factory magazines, and they both worked really, really well. I experienced no problems. Every time I put the magazine in my firearm and racked the slide back, and it all, every single round fired just fine. And I don't have a real frame of reference. I know that Winchester white box, some people say it's pretty dirty, but I wouldn't know what dirty versus clean ammo really was, to tell you the truth, because I'm still sort of trying to figure it all out. But I do clean my gun every time I take it to the range. So I, after the CCW class, did clean it out. There was a little bit of grime there, but I don't know what abnormal would be. So it wasn't a problem at all. And I had one of those Hobbs gun cleaning kits, and that's what I end up using right now. But in terms of carry ammo, I mentioned that I did have some problems with hollow points, and I wanted to talk about that today. When I first started the hollow point research, I picked up a few boxes of different brands, and I picked up some of the leading brands of hollow point, and to tell you the truth, it had some problems feeding. I wasn't getting a 100% reliability on them, and some of them were just getting stuck in the chamber, or failing to eject their shell after I'd fired the round. So those types of issues really soured me. And for a while there, I was carrying ball ammo. I was carrying full metal jacket, just because I wanted to be 100% reliable. I feel like that's the number one rule if you carry ammo, is that it's reliable. And, you know, it's the rule of your firearm and of your ammunition, is that they 100% work every time. And so for a while there, I did carry ball ammo. But eventually I moved on and started carrying PMC Starfire, which, if you know a little bit about it, it looks to be a little bit shorter from the top of the bullet to the end of the primer than a normal 230 grain hollow point or even full metal jacket. And it looks to be made for shorter barreled. I don't have confirmation on that, but you know, the reason I really like the PMC Starfire was that it was really accurate. And I think that's the second thing that you really want to look for in a carry ammo, is that, you know, number one, it's reliable, and number two, that it's accurate. And the PMC Starfires really were very accurate, you know, and it was the first time on the range for me that I got the majority of a magazine inside the bullseye. So I was really quite impressed with that. And I remember I went with my wife, and she was watching me, and I pulled the target close, and I couldn't believe it, seeing the seven shots, and I think five of them were in the bullseye area. And I pulled it forward and showed it to my wife, who was impressed. You know, that was still very new in my shooting career, and that was all of, you know, maybe last year. So, but then I started to, you know, experience one or two failures with that. It wouldn't chamber properly, and I don't know if I'm using the right verbiage, but the round after firing would eject the empty casing, and as it was putting in the next round, the gun would kind of jam open, or it wouldn't feed that next round. And that was even with that particular PMC Starfire, which I really, overall, really love. I don't want anyone to say that that's a, you know, that I don't enjoy that round. I do very much enjoy it, particularly because of its accuracy. But when that started to happen, I figured out that maybe I need to try another magazine. So I ended up going online and finding one of the most reputable magazine makers, and they also make 1911s. And I got one of their magazines, and it, you know, looks great and looks really quite impressive and feeds all my ammo really well. Except when I moved on from PMC Starfire, you know, and I switched over to Remington Golden Sabers. And this time, instead of 230 grain, I went to 185 grain, and this is a relatively recent switch for me. I went to 185 grain Remington Golden Sabers, and I went to the Plus P variety of that, which basically means that there's a little bit more pressure inside that round than normal. It gives it a little bit of oomph, and the bullet is going pretty fast. And I went to that round because I felt, you know, the 1911 is a gun that typically shoots a 230 grain bullet in a 5-inch barrel at around 850 feet per second. I think that's pretty standard. And the Remington Golden Saber at 185 grains, it's a little bit lighter. The Plus P variety travels at a rate of 1,170 feet per second. And that little bit of added velocity, I think, would be great in my 3-inch 1911, which, because it's 3 inches, the bullet doesn't travel as fast as out of a 5-inch barrel. So doing my little guess math, I'm guessing that the 185 grain Golden Saber at Plus P velocity is going at maybe 1,000 feet per second, maybe a little bit less. And for 185 grain, 1,000 feet per second, these numbers really didn't mean much to me until I read a book called Stopping Power, which is by Evan Marshall and Edwin Sano. I don't know if I'm saying those names right, but they in the 90s had a very famous handbook or book on handgun stopping power, and this is this Stopping Power book was written in 2001 and kind of served as an update to that seminal work in the 90s. And basically what these guys did was research real-life shootings from police officers predominantly, and also just, storekeepers, homeowners, CCW holders, and people, and just kind of tracked the real-life effects of these of various different calibers and firearms. And it's a book that I really recommend if you enjoy statistics and stories and whatnot. But ultimately, that book gave, I know it's dated in 2001, but it gave really high marks to the Remington Golden Saber, particularly the 185 grain version. And it even went so far as to say in a chapter on compact autos and 3-inch, well, discussed a 3-inch 1911 apparel ordinance, that it had the Golden Saber had a almost a 90%, I think it was 89%, one-stop rate, which basically meant that of their studies, the Remington Golden Saber would stop a person 89% of the time with just one shot to the torso. And if you want to think about what your goal is, and if ever you're in a conflict, it's not that you want to really hurt anyone or, worse. What you want to do is stop the aggressor, and stop having that threat upon your life or your loved one's lives. And that one shot stop percentage is kind of what they came up with, I believe, to kind of come up with particular ammunition's effectiveness. And so I know that some ammunitions like the 357 Magnum, that come in the 357 Magnum caliber, go up into the high 97% one SS, whatever that is. And that's a really high rate, and that's what's gotten me thinking lately to having a backup revolver or something, just so I could carry that legendary round. But for now, it's the 3-inch 1911 for me, and for now, I'm carrying that Remington Golden Saber plus P ammo. And I've shot it a few times in the range, and man, it does dig into you. So the recoil is quite a bit stouter than the typical 230 grain bullet. It's really digging into my palm. I can see it make a little bit of a indentation in it after I'm done with a few magazines worth. But so far, my firearm, my 3-inch 1911, is handling it very well. I'm a little bit concerned, because some people say it beats up the frame, that plus B round beats up the frame, and to be vigilant over cracks and in the slide. And so far I've fired maybe a little over 100 rounds of plus P ammo, and it's been great. Quite a bit more recoil. The accuracy is very good. It's not as good as the PMC Starfire, but I attribute that to more me getting used to the firearm and me getting used to the recoil. But all in all, a very, very good firearm. Very good ammunition, and that's what I carried today. And I'd highly recommend it for anyone thinking about it. There's also other brands out there. The Federal HST is pretty much the gold standard right now. I think that if you're not a law enforcement officer, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to get. But like all things, you can probably find it online. It's also Spear Gold Dot, which a lot of people have success with. Let's see. And there's also the old standard, the Federal Hydro Shock. Like I said, I use the Remington Golden Saber. I used to use the Winchester PDX one too, as well. But I ended up just not using that anymore either, for some of the reasons discussed before. It just had a real hard time having 100% reliability. And for me, and for most people, it's reliability first, accuracy second, and then I think controllability is third. You know, it's that plus P version of the Golden Saber really just snaps that gun barrel up, and it's takes a little bit more time to get it on target. So that's another thing I guess I'll have to consider long term is whether or not that is the best round for me to carry. But today and in the foreseeable future, I think that's what I'm going to be carrying. I'd like to kind of experiment with more magazines and, you know, venture off. I know there are a lot of great magazine makers. And I'm talking about the magazines that you put inside the firearm, not the kind that you read, although I do like those magazines as well. But I think there's some prominent makers of 1911 magazines, and I haven't quite found a third-party maker yet that I can call my own, I guess. But I have one on order, and I also have another one, and I know that by the time I'll be done with this journey into firearms, I'll probably have a dozen or more magazines, but I'd like to find one that has a kind of a flush fit, so it can be a little bit more concealable, and one that would obviously feed the plus P ammo flawlessly, which I've had some problems with the third-party maker that I do have. So I think that about wraps it up for this podcast. Thank you for listening. Again, this is Al with the CCW Podcast. This has been episode 2. I guess I'll call it about carry ammo. And if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to email me at ccwpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again, and stay tuned.